You may wonder this morning why John is not in his usual robe. It's not that it is in the wash and I did not dry it quick enough. It is intentional. Intentional because we as a church, and we have been having, well, started conversation about who we are, what we need to do, and what our future looks like. And there were some good things that were shared during the AGM meeting, and I believe there are also some very good discussion that's happening in the Lenten groups and so on, not just in terms of the journey from Peter, the book of Peter's, but also our own personal journey as well as journey as a church, as a people of God. And this morning, well, one of the things I thought I would like to challenge each one of us to think about is that if we could dispense some of the things that we usually do and be able to gain more people to church, are we willing to change? When I wear the robe, does it make me a better priest? Not necessarily. Does it make me cleaner and purer? It's white, but sometimes I look and say it needs a bit of wash. Personally, I always go for substance rather than form. Not that we don't need forms, but it is often the substance that makes the difference. Whether I'm wearing the robe today, it makes no difference in terms of the presence of God. Whether I wear the robe today and serve the communion, does it make the communion more alive? No, it doesn't. When I preach without the robe, does it matter? I'm not saying I totally dispense the robe. It's sitting in my office, and I will wear it again next week. But I just want to make a point, as far as our church is going, as far as where we're heading, are we prepared to make changes that are helpful for our church, for the people, and for the growth of our church? And that's the challenge. And that's what we have been doing in this sermon series. In very aspect, I believe, are critical and important for us to look at. And today, we are going to look at what it takes to be a life-giving Christian and a life-giving church. Not just form, but the substance of life. And the passages we have heard today, a Samaritan woman went to Jesus, or he went to her more precisely. And Jesus talked about a life-giving water, the spring. And earlier in the Old Testament book, it talks about people crying out for water. Water in the desert is life-giving. But they didn't know that they had a great God. And so in the end, God delivers. And Moses was able to bring water to the people. What about us? What is our water? What is that substance of life-giving that we as people of God, that we as a church, we need to focus on? The substance. Having lived and worked in three different countries, I'm often asked the question, which is your favorite? Well, I grew up in New Zealand, and of course, beautiful country. Yesterday, you know, the sun and the people and so forth, fantastic. Hong Kong has always been a very exotic place in the east, blending the old and the new. And Singapore, well, the tropic place. Lovely country with lots of food and shopping and many other things as well. Well, I finally have an adequate answer to that question. It depends. It depends. That's it. It depends. It depends on what I value most. It depends on whether or not I approach the country which I happen to be there at that particular juncture, the posture, whether I give or I take. It depends on whether or not I come with the desire to bless or the attitude of entitlement.
Did the city exist for my personal benefit, or do I exist for the benefit of the city and the people? Every week, Christians in our city are wrestling with similar tension. Should I go to church or meet up with friends instead? Should I participate in a small group or watch footy on TV? Should I open up the Bible app or should I open up Twitters and Facebook? Every week, when people enter the doors of our churches, they are either coming with the posture to give or to take. They are either coming to serve or to be served. They are coming to bless the Lord or to be blessed by the Lord. They are coming to give worship or take information and inspiration from the sermon. It's a subtle difference. But your posture, my posture, everybody's posture changes everything. I hear it often. Yes, we visited church and ... People were nice, but ... It's like we are stepping back in time ... It felt like something is missing ... Live giving is a way of describing the culture of a church and essentially how that community is experienced with when enter into. It is not about traditions versus contemporary. Tension that often characterize generational preferences about church. Rather, it is about intentional habits of being genuine, honest, and helpful as people called by the gospel of God and the grace of God. If we ignore the life-giving conversation, we relegate the church to patterns of livelessness rather than being filled and led by the Spirit. Everyone measures the church differently. From the appearance of the building, the friendliness of the people, the worship, the preaching, demographics, and or spirit. Like it or not, our church resonates a certain spirit and behaves in ways that are formative and mostly hidden. Good or bad, healthy or unhealthy. Why? Because we have grown accustomed to our own culture. We say, oh, we may realize at some level that something is missing, but that's okay, because it is our church and we love the people. Studies show that most first-time visitors leave and don't return because they were bored, confused, and sometimes even asked to do things they weren't comfortable doing. I'm very accustomed to this. Sometimes we have visitors coming to churches, and the church people make them stand up. Oh, wow. And then they have to say the name or some other things and put people on the spot. Is that the best way of introducing new people to our church? Sometimes we make people do things that they're not comfortable with. Why do we do them? Yet, a visitor or new member, when he or she sees, hears, wonders, and brings fresh perspective to be among us. It's good to listen to new people, what they have to say. It is good to listen to others, what they have to share, instead of sticking to our regular pattern. So that's why today I decided not to wear the robe. Does it make any difference? It's a form. Yes. Thank you. All right, good. Thank you for that. When we are defensive about our church, we merely propagate the same spirit and ways of being. So here are some characteristics of a life-giving church. Of course, I can go on much more to share. Thoughtful worship focuses on God's life, mission, and character. Focus on God's life, mission, and character. That's why one of the three words I share at the AGM, focus. What are we focusing on? That is life-giving. Gospel-centered teaching and application to daily life. Our whole being, our value system is based on the Bible, the scripture, what God's word is saying to us. Third one, specific habits that reflect the hospitality of God. Being hospitable, being charitable, being kind and friendly. Yes, they are good stuff that we as a church, as God people need to do. Welcoming. Even though they may not dress exactly the same as we do sometimes. Hospitable. Intentional emphasis on modeling the fruit of the Spirit. And we have touched those, the fruit of the Spirit, from time to time. How do we model our lives according to those things that the Spirit fills our life with? The fruit of the Spirit. Specific conversation about being Christian. We are having a conversation about our church. We also need to have conversation with one another and with people, just like Shirley shared, that the conversation started just a general conversation, then got into something a little bit deeper and more of sharing and then praying and so on. And that's how we sometimes start engaging people. Violet and I had the opportunity to go and mix and mingle yesterday. Some people just tell me, sorry, I'm not religious. But I say, okay, I'm not here to talk to you about God. I just want to, know you a little bit more. Start conversation with people. Start reaching out to people, even among us. Those that we don't usually converse with, we can start conversing with them. Conversations. Couple more. Christ-centered teaching that equips people for transformation. Small group study, learning, reading scriptures, listen to courses and so on. Those help us to anchor in the Word of God of life-giving living. External focus, gift-based ministry in the church and in the world. We need to go, and great to see Roger share the song today about outwards. That's what we've been talking about, community engagement. Outwards, reaching to people out there. That's our call to reach people outside. In the book, let me finish with this. In the book, The Life-Giving Spirit, The Victory of Christ in Missional Perspective, a bit long and wordy. There's an interesting statement. If every breath we inhale is from God, then every breath we exhale should be for God. Get it? If we are of God and the Spirit lives in us, we inhale, we exhale. The in and out part. That's what we need to. That's what we need to do as a God, as God's people. As individual, life-giving Christians, life-giving church move away from form, but focus on substance, the life-giving thing. Just as the encounter that is not about getting drinks and so that you don't become thirsty, but it's that living water from Jesus, that life-giving water that you and I have that we need to share with others. A tough question we need to ask ourselves. Are we a life-giving church? And are we life-giving people?